Let us turn to the prophecy of Isaiah in the chapter 55, the 55th chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah. This is God's holy word. Come, let us hear the word of Almighty God. The Lord truly give us ears to hear and hearts to receive his word this night. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel. He hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Amen. This is the word of the Lord, and may the Lord be pleased to bless that public reading of his precious word, all to the glory of his name and to the good of our needful and never dying souls. Dear friends, I turn your prayerful attention once again to the words that I read to you earlier in your hearing, there in the prophecy of Isaiah, the chapter 55, these words given by Isaiah the prophet hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus Christ would ever come into this world, approximately 700 years before the coming of the Savior would come into this world. These words spoken concerning the salvation of our Savior. The opening of this chapter begins, Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Many years ago, I used to listen to an old preacher, a well-known man. I still hold him in very high regard. And he used to say, the most hungry and thirsty thing in all the world is the soul. And that is very true. But let me say this, not everybody hungers and thirsts for the same things. Just as people have different appetites, different thirsts, not everybody hungers and thirsts for the same thing. The hunger and the thirst here has to do for the things of God. We know this because if you were to study from Isaiah 53 into Isaiah 54, First of all, Isaiah 53 has to do with the suffering Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The man acquainted with grief, he who was marred, his back plowed, furrowed, lacerated, buffeted, bruised, suffered in the room in the stead of his people. Chapter 54 is all about his bride, his church, which he purchased with his own blood, and the heritage of the saints. Isaiah 54, the verse 17, it is the very righteousness of that one, the Son of God, who would come into this world and who would earn a righteousness for his people. That is their inheritance, the righteousness of him. That is how the close of Isaiah 54 is. And the invitation, therefore, as we come to Isaiah 55, is ho, everyone that thirsts. Thirst for what? Thirst for this one that suffered, that died, and that brings in a righteousness for sinners who see themselves to be nothings and nobodies. People who feel themselves to be utterly destitute before God. My friends, that's the whole context of these verses. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who gives water, that water that leads to eternal life. There he was at the well, was he not, with the woman who had had five husbands, and the man that she was with now was not her husband. She was not satisfied with this world. She was not pleased, or she was a hungering once for those things and thirsting after the things of this world. But she soon realized that this world is one big empty system that cannot satisfy the soul, cannot bring peace. But this one, the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, would come into the world. He would suffer, Isaiah 53, and die. His soul would be made an offering for sin. And then, blessed be God, he has his church in Isaiah 54, a bride. And he says to his bride, spread your skirts. Open your tents up, because I'm going to gather in many more into the church. I'm going to save them, because the Savior, although he had not yet come into the world, would come into the world. And now, this is a wonderful word that goes out from the lips of God through the prophet. Oh, everyone that thirsts. You're in this world, maybe you're here tonight, and you've realized that this world is an empty place. It cannot satisfy the soul. Maybe you've come to that point in your life now where you realize you're lost, you're undone, you have been brought to yourself. What a blessed place that is to be brought to the end of yourself and to see that there's no hope in you. And God says in Isaiah, look unto me, says the Lord, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am the Lord, and there is none other. Hope is in God. There's no hope in man, is there? There's no hope at all. Man is hopeless. We see people, we've seen many people being buried this last year. We've seen many people burying people, and they have no hope. No hope in this life. No hope for eternity. No hope for anything. But Jesus Christ is called to the believer. The hope. Christ in you, Christians, the hope of glory. And it is Christ I want to set before you this evening, and I want to take, with the Lord's help, my text this evening, in the verse 3. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. You notice in the previous verses, God, as it were, presents himself as a street hawker of wares. You can imagine one in the marketplace. We have this very often when I go out to preach in the Hemel Hempstead Town Centre on Thursdays, a market day. And sometimes you hear men call out, we've got this for sale, we've got that for sale. And here is the word of God. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that has no money, come ye buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. These are the finest things. Of course, it's all language meant to portray that God gives the very best. And he gives the very best in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything is in him, Christ. And David knew this. David knew the blessing of God. We want to speak this evening with the Lord's help in the verse 3 of the sure mercies of David. Because this is what the Lord promises to those who have come to that place where they realize that this world is empty. They see themselves to be sinners with no hope before a holy God. He says, incline your ear. You may not have come from a rich line family like David. David had wealth. David was a great king. He had a great son. But a greater than Solomon, David's son, would come. And as we thought this morning, men shall be blessed in him. That's the point. Maybe you're born in this world, and you're born into a poor family. Or maybe, of course, I've come from an unsaved family. Families can be rather difficult places of living. We have unsaved members of the family. And this sin-filled world is full of all kinds of people. People here may not know what your family is like, but God knows. And maybe that's difficult for you. And maybe you're seeking now to come to God. You've been coming along and hearing the Word of God. And you're finding your home here amongst God's people. And you're finding peace and meaning in your life. Well, God blesses those who are in Christ and who will listen to his word. These are them. He says, my sheep, they hear my voice. They come to me and I give them eternal life. And indeed, what does he do? He gives them, as David, the sure mercies of David. And I want us to think this evening on what those sure mercies are. What are the sure mercies of David? Well, this verse is seen in Acts chapter 13. You may wish to turn there. Acts chapter 13. The Apostle Paul, he's preaching in Antioch, Pisidia, and he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he began, as was his custom there, to open up the Word of God and to preach. And what would Paul preach? He would preach Christ. And he would preach about the sure mercies of David. Of course, by now, the Lord Jesus Christ has suffered, he has died, he has risen, he has ascended, and he is upon that throne which God promised King David. He would put one of his descendants upon that throne. And you notice as you come down to the verse 22, but let me just interject some things here. Paul, what he does is he traces the history of the Lord Jesus Christ all the way to the time of David. The line of David, one would come. Verse 22, he raised up unto them David to be their king. That's the people of God. Then he says in the verse 23 concerning David, of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. Then the verse 28. Think about all the injustices that would come upon Christ, his death. Verse 28, and although they found no cause of death in him, that's Christ, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, of course in the scriptures, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre or a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and he was seen many days of them, which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. Now, I want you to notice the important connection that Paul makes here. Verse 32, and we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled, the same unto us, their children, in that he raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Psalm 2, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption. That means he's not going to die now. He's raised. On this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. You see, God has raised his son to die no more. And he is a king. And a king implicates one thing. He has a kingdom. David, although he would suffer, although he would die, he is part of that everlasting kingdom. The Son of God. In other words, God had given to his children through Jesus Christ the sure mercies of David. We see it here. God, verse 33, hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children. All who believe upon Christ are the children of God. All that are in Christ, we're reminded in Galatians 3. All who are in Christ are the seed of Abraham, the children of God. There's neither Jew nor Greek, but all are one and are blessed, as God said to Abraham, not through seeds, but through seed, which is Christ. And here is presented to us in the Old Testament, to those who incline their ears and who will humble themselves before Almighty God, what God will do. He will give to all who feel themselves to be thirsty for him and hungry for this righteousness, Isaiah 54:17, the sure mercies of David. Now, what are the sure mercies of David? And to us, whoever believes and calls upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says, shall be saved. That is, call upon him in truth, with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Not just call upon God if you need some cash in the bank and to get you out of a fix. But you've been brought to this place, my dear friends, where you realize you need more than cash in the bank and your marriage to be fixed up. But you're not right with God. You're hell deserving. You're wrath deserving. What is the first thing, like David, that he had? Notice the sure mercies of David. Now, sinners don't like to hear about mercy. Think about the rich young man that came. He came running to the Lord Jesus and said, "Good Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? What shall I do?" For him, it wasn't about mercy. What can I do? How can I merit eternal life? He wasn't interested about mercy. In fact, when the Lord Jesus said to him, went over the commandments, he said, "I've done them all." And he began his conversation with the Lord. "Good Master," he said, "why callest thou me good? No one is good except God." Now, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is good, but he was dealing with this man's loose use of words, just using the word good loosely. Do we realize what good is? Good is utter perfection, holiness, righteousness. "You call me good?" Did he know who he was speaking to? Yes, the Lord Jesus is altogether good. But that man was only interested in, what can I do? What can I do? Here, notice the sure mercies of David. Mercy. We're dealing with mercy. It's not a kind of an invitation that people want in this life. People are not interested in invitations of mercy. You talk to people about mercy. So what do you mean, "I need mercy"? They reckon they're in good standing with God. God will receive me on the basis of my good works. Well, David was a God-fearing and God worshipping man. But David committed great sin, didn't he? Let's think of the sure mercies of David. What did David need? He needed forgiveness of his sins. And David was a vile sinner. Think of his life. I mean, here's a man who by the Spirit wrote so much of the Psalms. And yet, there are times of such high peaks of walking so close with God. And there are times you wonder, is this the same man? What did he do? He sinned that awful sin with Bathsheba. And then he had Uriah, her husband, put to death. Now that's sin, isn't it? That's unspeakable sin. That sin was worthy of death. Adultery, murder, worthy of death. And we have sinned sins, friends, in our hearts. We have murdered in our hearts. The Lord Jesus said, if any man saith to another, Raca, or such things, unkind things. We have had murderous thoughts. We've had unkind thoughts toward other people. And we may not have committed the action, but we've felt things. And we have sinned against God. We've not loved God with all of our heart. We've not loved Him with all of our soul, our mind, our strength. We have broken commandment after commandment after commandment. But David knew forgiveness of his sins. That's the sure mercy of David. That's the first sure mercy of David. You know that Psalm 32, where David exclaims, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. It's really a maskil or a psalm of instruction. That's really what it means. Whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. David was so troubled in his sin, he cried day and night. He was so troubled after what he did. And he was so far from the Lord, although he was a saved man. And yet he knew forgiveness. Because we read there, blessed is the man who the Lord does not impute, who does not put his sin to his account. But David was a forgiven man. How could God forgive? Because what God would do in the mercy of his son is he would put David's sins to the account of Christ, and Christ would bear all those sins on the cross, and he would suffer every last dark drop of David's sins. That's what Paul says in Romans chapter 3. That God was holding back the sins of the saints of the Old Testament. That in the time, in the fullness of time, they would have been laid upon Christ. Study Romans 3. There would be that time when those sins would be laid on Christ. David was looking for this, the Savior to come. We read, do we not, in the Psalms, of the suffering Savior. And David spoke of this one in the Psalm, that he would not leave his Holy One to see corruption, though he did no injustice. We know, don't we, from that Psalm 190, 119, that one time in that Psalm where the law is not referred to, I think it's verse 122 and 121. But the one time where the Savior speaks and says, I have done justice. The Lord Jesus throughout his life did justice. David's greatest son came and did justice. He came under the law of God and he fulfilled all righteous requirements of the law. But God's justice was laid on him for our sins who believe upon him. That's the mercy. There was a time when David was guilty before God. And then he knew God's forgiveness. pardoning mercy. That's the sure mercy of God. Are you thirsty for this? That's the thirst that is presented here. You're troubled in your sin. You realize you're lost, you're undone. You have no home, no family really, not a family of any worth, any value. Think of David there in the Psalm 122. He said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go up today, let us worship in the house of God, for there my kindred dwell. David's family, secondly, was a troubled family. My family, your family, all the families of this earth, my friend, are riddled with sin. But are you thirsting for the sure mercy of David? That God put him amongst the kindred. What did the Lord Jesus Christ say? When his family saw him sitting there with his disciples, and they thought he had lost his mind, he said, these are my brethren. These are my people. These who believe upon me. These are my mothers, my brothers, my sisters. He was saying, this is who God has given me. And one day we will read, as we read in Hebrews, here am I, he will say, and all the children that thou hast given me. This is the mercy of David. David could say, even though it's not so with my house, I have a covenant ordered and sure in all things. David was not looking to that First Testament covenant, but the covenant, the everlasting covenant, there in Psalm 2. That God the Father would give his Son a people, and he would be head over those people. The sure mercies of David. You see, when you're saved, you're put into the family of Christ. It's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. It's a wonderful thing to be amongst people who think like you and who have the same desires and the same longings. You're thirsty for this. It's about mercy. And I will give you the sure mercies of David. Not the sure merits, but the sure mercies of David. David never merited anything. The rich young ruler, again, he thought, what must I do to inherit? But he wasn't interested in mercy. It's about God's mercy. There's nothing we can give God. You see, he says here, come buy without money, without price. My son has bought it all. There's nothing to pay. It is the free gift of God to all who believe upon Christ. And if you find yourself believing, I say it's of God. It cannot be of man. Because this is absolutely, totally against the grain of natural man. He does not desire mercy. He desires merit. That's what man wants. That's what all the religions of this world are about. How many steps you can climb, go to Mecca, what you do in this religion, what you don't do, your good works, nothing in our hands can we bring. Nothing can we offer God. When David had sinned, he could plead nothing. Everything David had in his life, everything God had made him king, God had raised him to that position. What was he before? He was just a poor shepherd boy. David says in the Psalm 18, Lord, thy gentleness has made me great. God was so gentle with him. That's another sure mercy of David. David knew the gentle hand of God. God doesn't treat us like the people of this world, my friends. God is our creator. He doesn't put on us more than we can bear. I totally reject the idea that some Christians propose that God does put on us more than we can bear. I don't believe that. I believe that He always makes the way of escape possible. He always directs our paths. And He leads us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And God is so gentle. The sure mercy of David is this, and that when he was weak, the Lord was his strength. The Lord was his armor in times of trial and temptation. The Lord was his everything. The sure mercy of God, of David, is to be in God's family and to know the gentleness and the greatness of God. We never think, do we, of God's gentleness? We hardly think of it. We understand God's omnipotence. We think of His might. He sustains the world and the heavens. And He can do anything. He proposes this to us. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? It's nothing too hard for the Lord. Nothing is impossible for God. But God, who is infinitely powerful, is infinitely wise and knows everything about us, so that we can tell Him our smallest problem. He tells us to cast all of our cares upon Him, for He careth for us. That's the sure mercy. That's one of David's sure mercies. You can come to this God through His Son. There is one mediator. If God spared not His Son, but delivered Him up for us all who believe upon Him, how will He not also along with Him freely give us all things? Oh, my dear sinner friend, it's all about mercy. You can't earn it. You come, you realize you're a nothing, you're a nobody. You feel the emptiness of this world. You feel your life to be empty. Good. The rich young man, he just wanted more things, didn't he? I'm coming back to him, and deliberately so. What did the Lord Jesus ask him? One thing thou lackest, sell all thy goods and give to the poor. The Lord was putting His finger on this man's problem. Never loved God. Never loved fellow men. He loved his wealth. He was a rich young ruler. He loved his wealth standing. He wasn't prepared to give it up. Well said, Jim Elliot. He is no fool to lose that which he cannot keep. You can't keep this life. You realize the emptiness of this life. You realize your sin. But you cast yourself upon God in Christ Jesus, who suffered in Isaiah 53. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. He was led for His sheep's sake. You feel yourself to be a lost sheep. You've gone in this world. You've lived. You've seen it's empty. You see people live vain lives. You see people are unhappy. And they're unholy. And you don't want to be that anymore. Well, this is the gospel. Ho, everyone that thirsteth. Think of the king. Here's a king here. David's greater son. In Matthew chapter 5, we have his kingdom manifesto. What does he say? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the what? The kingdom of heaven. They belong to his kingdom. They're meek. And what else? They hunger and they thirst after righteousness. They're his. David knew these things. He was not what he ought to be. But God is so gentle with him, so kind, and God has put on his throne an everlasting king, the king that he promised The angel speaking to Mary said in Luke 1:32, "He shall be great, he shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever." My friends, the Lord Jesus will reign forever and forever in the worlds to come. And you know, where he reigns, there's no trouble. We live in a troubled world. You may come from a troubled family. You see trouble all around. We read in the book of the Revelation, nothing gets into his place, his city. Nothing that will defile. Nothing that will ruin. He will protect it. He will never let what happened in Eden happen again. What happened there was to show his love and his justice. This is what Paul tells us in Romans 9. While the fall was decreed by man, and it was by God, and it was, God in his wise plan, willing to show his mercy on vessels of mercy. Read it for yourself. But also willing to show his justice on vessels fitted for destruction. If you have by sovereign grace, if you have by grace come to see that you're a sinner, that's a mercy. The rich young ruler never saw that. What else must I do? What he didn't have is he didn't have peace. He didn't have assurance. And you can never have assurance by a religion of works. Can you? How do you know whether you've ever done enough? You never know. You never can. You can't pay for your sin of past. But here's the thing, Christ has died for the sins of his people, past, present, and future. The sure mercies of David. It's a blessed thing to have the sure mercies of David. The Lord Jesus says in Revelation 22:16, "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David." Now think about that phrase. That's a lovely theme to study in the Word of God. Get to it. Study it. The Lord Jesus is the root of David. How did David ever come about? And the offspring of David. It's amazing. He's the creator. He's the root of all things. He's the cause. He set the universe in motion. He spoke and said, "Let there be light," and there was light. But he came out of David. He's the offspring of David. I was preaching in the open air. The words in Job. "Can anything clean come out of that which is unclean?" Job is speaking of man. Nothing. "Can anything clean come out of a woman? That is, she is unclean." No, we're sinners. But God, in the mystery of his love, condescended. And in the very womb of Mary, Christ was conceived. Emmanuel. God with us. I mean, that's the amazing thing. This sure mercy of David is God the Son. God was manifest in the flesh. That's the sure mercy of David. God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. We read here in Acts 13 how
He would not leave
His Holy One to see corruption. And all that are in Christ shall live, shall be raised. He said, marvel not, the hour is coming when all that are in the grave shall come out of the graves. All in Adam die, but all that are in Christ shall be made alive. This was David's hope. The sure mercy of David is not only an everlasting king, but that David himself would be raised. And the promise here is all that believe in Christ shall be raised not to everlasting damnation and destruction and perdition, but to everlasting life. Coming back to the rich young ruler, he thought he had life. Now, this life was his best. He wasn't prepared to give it up, was he? It says he went away, what, sad. Why? Because he had many possessions. Maybe you've come to realize in your life, this world is empty. That's what David came to discover. After being king, he realized that his body, everything was going to go one day. His riches, he couldn't take it with him. Couldn't take his family. Why would you want to take some of his family anyway? Murderous sons, treacherous wives, some of them. But he knew, the moment he closed his eyelids in death, he'd be with God. That's the sure mercy of David. And that's what God promises to all that look unto Christ. It's the gift of God. It's about mercy. And you seek Him as a sinner tonight. And you seek His mercy. You seek His forgiveness, His pardon. That's what David said. He said, if you just turn there with me to the Psalm 32, blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Notice, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. This is the time when he had committed that awful sin. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned up into the drought of summer. Selah, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Now notice, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. That is the mercy of God. Have you sought the Lord for His mercy? Many people are crying God, come into my life. But what for? If you don't want a relationship with Him. There's no fellowship with God apart from mercy. The Lord Jesus Christ said, except ye repent, ye shall perish. But the good news is that all that repent, truly, David says, for this shall every man that is godly, that is God toward, that's the sense of the word, pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. God may be found now. That's why it's called the day of salvation. Those who, we're told here in this chapter, the verse 6, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. You hear Him in the preaching of the word. You go away, your heart becomes cold. Time is to seek the Lord. We know not what a day brings forth. Of course, all God's people will come. They will be made willing. But friends, don't rest on your laurels. Rest on this God has given you today. He's given you His word tonight. He's shown you what He has given to David, and He gives to all that call upon Him. David was rich beyond measure in terms of spiritual blessing, and all of God's children have the same. no less than David. We may not be kings. We may not be monarchs. We may have nothing or very little, Paul says, being poor, but yet possessing all things. What do we possess? If we have the sure mercies of David, we have Christ. That's the best blessing of all. We have heaven. We have eternal life. We have no condemnation. We know for sure Christ has died for our sins. You only know when you come to Him. Because in being forgiven, you receive mercy, and in receiving mercy, you know you're His. Many people never get to hear about the sure mercies of David. Many people pass through. Think of the two blind men just outside of Jericho. Blind. You'd be thinking, why did they cry out what they were crying out? Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on us. They weren't crying for sight. Have mercy on us. They acknowledged their sin. They never complained against God. They realized whatever weakness or the infirmity they had. When we look at, maybe we're infirm in some way. How has all that come about? It's come about through the fall. Sin has spread to all men. Death, disease, and decay. In whatever condition we're in, let me say this, we deserve far worse tonight. Far worse. Have you come to see that? Because unless you've come to see that, my friends, you're still blind. You're more blind than those two men. Crying out, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. They found mercy. The Son of God stopped and had mercy on them. He who controls the world, the universe, everything, He attends to every single one for whom He died. They cry out to Him, and they will find mercy. Even the sure mercies of David. What a Savior. David could say, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. David was saying, Lord, you never stop thinking about me. That's a mercy. To have a God that never stops thinking about you. I don't know about you, but me and my wife, we sometimes forget to do things. We don't mean it, we're busy. And we can forget to do things, and you can forget to do things for each other. But God never forgets His people. He never forgets them. Never. And if this God is ours, we are blessed. But you come and you seek His mercy, because that is the only entrance door into His kingdom. And that mercy is through David's greater son, the Lord Jesus. You see, mercy comes at a cost. God cannot just say, sin, put it in the bin. A debt had to be paid. Paid for all of His sheep. God is just, He had to punish. And the wonderful thing is, His sheep hear Him. They come to Him. They realize there's not one debt to pay. And all the righteousness that they never had or never could attain to, He gives His people a spotless robe of righteousness in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the mercy of David. Seek the Lord, verse 6, while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. See, Peter says this about Christians returning to the shepherd and bishop of our souls. You were lost sheep. You were always his sheep. God is determined to have his people. They will come. But they will come as David. Or they'll never come at all. They will come. He said, they will be mine. And the Lord Jesus said, because I live, ye shall live also. He said that as he was going to suffer. And you will live in his sight forever. You're going to pass through this world as I am very soon. But do we have God's mercy in the Lord Jesus? That's the biggest question of all, isn't it? May we answer with judgment day honesty tonight. Have I truly sought the Lord with all my heart? Well, the promise is, if you seek him, he shall be found. And the amazing thing is, he was sought, he was found of them who sought him not. How does that figure? The Bible says, seek him, on the one hand, and then it says, he was found of them that sought him not. Well, there was a time, figure how you came here. You know, for me, I wasn't really looking for God. But he brought me. And it's been far better than I ever thought it would be. He brought me. He drew me. Things so ordered in my life that I came and I found myself under the ministry of his word, and I came and I believed upon Christ. And so we put the crown on his head. He said, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. And if you've heard, I say this, here's what a confidence, what a comfort that is tonight. You never would have heard without him allowing you to hear. Thou hast hidden these things from the prudent and the wise, and has revealed them unto many people. Will hear, but they'll not really hear, as our brother said the other day. They're not here. May God truly give you ears to hear. Not me, but his word preaching to your heart tonight for his name's sake. Amen.